All right, this is Movies I Love That No One Talks About. I am your host, Dan Benamor. Today, we were supposed to be talking about the 1986 film Armor of God. Instead, we decided to do something totally different this week, and we're going to have a whole career retrospective on Jackie Chan. And the reason why is because my two guests this week are foremost Jackie Chan scholars. We have returning guest Joshua James, who wrote the Jean-Claude Van Damme film Pound of Flesh, is a screenwriter and martial artist. And we also have Mike Leader, who at the very least I know for a fact has hung out with Jackie Chan because I've seen a picture of him with Jackie on social media. Mike did stunts in The Raid too. He did fighter casting on The Man of Tai Chi, Hong Kong casting The Man with the Iron Fists. He was the Asia casting director for Rush Hour 3. I could go on for quite a while. Welcome, Josh and Mike.
He's also in Pound of Flesh and one of the producers on that.
Yeah, Joshua wrote that I get punched in the face for some reason. I blame everything on him. Yeah.
I thought we would start the show with a deep nerd Jackie Chan reference and see if you guys pick up what it is. All right, ready for this?
Yep.
Who am I?
Yeah,
that's who am I. Yeah, that is actually the movie that I wanted to do on this episode, and it's not streaming anywhere in the United States.
See, that's the problem at the moment. There's a lot of those movies have vanished for various rights issues, and like Columbia TriStar, I think, had Who Am I, but it seems to have vanished now. Yeah,
when Mike and I very different, but how I got introduced to Jackie, other than cable, was the Asian cinema section in the video rental stores, which don't exist anymore. So it's not surprising it's getting even harder now.
Yeah, and Mike, you are really up on all this stuff, right? Because I mean, I see.
It's very funny. I was the guy who used to hate kung fu movies and would make fun of them all the time. Because I was always like, why are you going to show your style of fighting before you fight? Like, that makes no sense. And then I bunked off school one afternoon with some friends, and we watched a double bill of Snake and Eagle, Shadow and Drunken Master. And I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. This is something very different. And kind of dived into exactly, as Josh said, you know, going to every video store, you know, like, having about 20 memberships, you know, picking up a Betamax recorder just so I could rent movies that were on Betamax in some shops. Just dived into it, would go up to Chinatown in London to watch movies. It's so funny now when I think about it, like we used to spend, you know, like 25 US, you know, 20, 30 pounds for a unsubtitled VHS, second or third generation of movies, and just like going to Chinatown where you'd see a poster and you'd be like, okay, I recognize Jackie Chan or Zhao Yun Fat. Maybe it's an action movie. Maybe it's a comedy. Let's go and see it. And then about 1990, I just decided, fuck it. I'm going to come to Hong Kong, and if I'm lucky, maybe I'll get to meet a movie star. If I'm really lucky, maybe I'll get to work on a movie. And 31 years later, I'm still here. So yeah.
Wow, man. What was interesting to me looking back on it, I had no idea that Jackie has credits going back to 1962.
He's actually in I Spy, an episode of I Spy shot in Hong Kong with Bill Cosby and Robert Culp. Yeah, he's in, I think he worked on The Sand Pebbles, you know, with Steve McQueen. It's like, it's one of the funniest things when I first came to Hong Kong was, you'd meet all these actors and directors and they didn't know how many movies they'd done. And
they're just running.
Even now, sometimes when I'm doing interviews, you're literally going, so Dan, you worked on such and such a movie. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And Jackie's famously in Enter the Dragon, Dan. I think you probably knew that, right? He gets killed.
Yeah. I noticed that looking at the credits. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say for me, you know, cause we watch Kung Fu cinema on PBS when I was a kid, but the difference between Jackie and Sammo, and they're all from the Peking Opera. Is that right, Mike?
Yep.
And they do their own shit because the kids that go through that program are trained brutally. And I think Sammo even did a movie about it, how they do that. So when, even if I watch a movie like The Protector with Bill Superfoot Wallace and Danny Aiello, which if you haven't seen, Dan, you have to see it. It's a rated R brutally. They were trying to Americanize Jackie and make him more tough like Bruce, even though he's not. But there's some amazing stunts that you'd see, like in Who Am I? This guy that one of his stunt team falls, like, I swear, it's like two stories onto a hard floor on his back.
Mm.
And then Asian cinema became known for that. And it wasn't just wire work. It was these dedicated acrobats actually doing it. And that was sort of the thing. And it was always funny to me that everybody caught up to Jackie around when he did Rumble in the Bronx.
Hmm.
But that's because he did the Big Brawl, which was supposed to make him more of a Bruce Lee, and then he did Protector with Danny Aiello, and it was supposed to make him another Bruce Lee, and it just didn't take, and it didn't take because that's not who Jackie was.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting parts about him, I think, is that in the beginning it was like Jackie playing like the kind of older style tough guy, right? And then, you know, I think that. Oh, this was interesting too, doing the research. So Drunken Master came out in 1978. Drunken Master 2 comes out in 1994. This is a big thing when you're in the West, is they'll just retitle the movie. It's extremely confusing. The Legend of Drunken Master, which came out in the United States in the year 2000, is actually Drunken Master 2.
No, I mean, that's always been one of the problems, like because so many times the English title was have no relevance. Like there's a Shaw Brothers movie called Dirty Ho, which has the greatest tagline of all time: "You haven't lived until you fought Dirty Ho, and then you're dead." And it's a fucking awesome movie, but the Chinese title is like The 11th Prince, and they were like Dirty Harry movie, Dirty Ho. There you go,
Dirty Ho.
So when I first came to Hong Kong, it was terrible because you'd be like, so Dan, I saw you in the Legend of the Jumping Fist. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? And you'd be going, and they're like, I've never heard of that movie. And then you'd be like, thing. And then what was funny was when we did like Man with the Iron Fists, RZA RZA's a huge Kung Fu fan. But like a lot of the actors, he only knew them by their character names.
Mm.
So we'd be having a meeting and he'd be like, I want the Sleeping Wizard. And everybody would look around and be like, what? And I'd be like, oh, you mean Chin Yat-san? They'd be like, why is he called Sleeping Wizard? I'm like, oh, because in this movie, you know, that's what his character's called. And there's always been that madness here. And exactly, let's retitle, you know, Drunken Master's popular, so we'll have 500 Drunken Master movies. And then like they did do the breakout in the West, suddenly you had companies like Xenon and Ground Zero just renaming everything. And it just... You know, even now you sit there sometimes going, I have no idea what this movie is. You know, like sometimes a movie will pop up and you're like,
this happened with Italian films, with Django, when they did Django.
Yeah.
There was like 700 different movies named Django because they were sort of copyright issues, so anybody could name a movie Django.
and in Hong Kong, what was even madder was like in the early 90s, we had the category 3 genre, which was the kind of the exploitation sex and violence films came out. And it was like a whole subcategory. I did a movie in true Hong Kong fashion. We began shooting, the movie was called Blind Power, and it was a Hong Kong take on Zatoichi. And we have a character wearing the sunglasses, he's got a sword stick and everything. Halfway through filming, I walk up on set one day and he's driving a car. And I'm like, but Lam Ching Ying is blind. Oh, we've dropped that idea. And I'm like, but we've shot half the movie where he's you know, touching people's faces and recognizing them. But wrong. So we shoot the movie and it's released in Taiwan as The Sad Story of Saigon and makes absolutely no money. At the moment, yeah, the category 3 sex and violent movies are popular. So for the Hong Kong release, they shot sex scenes and dropped them into the movie at the most inappropriate moments.
Wow.
Wow. And released the movie as Rape in Public Sea. And my late mother used to have on the fridge in England a lobby card with me with long hair blowing in the wind and the legend Rape in Public Sea. I was like, I'm so proud of my son. And like, basically, imagine Josh on Pound of Flesh if we dropped sex scenes in. So you've got Jean-Claude and Brahim getting ready to go to the club, and it's intercut with someone having sex while we're pumping shotguns and everything.
That almost happened though, right?
That came close. Yeah. So exactly. There's always been that madness of retitling and, like, you know, like Dan said, with copyright issues of, you know, is this a legitimate sequel? Is it not a legitimate? And then of course, like, it's like in Germany, everything's Karate Tiger, like, you know, the No Retreat, No Surrender movies and Best of the Best are all Karate Tiger.
Yeah.
Or Fight, or Born to Fight, or Fight to Win. So you end up in that lost situation where people are coming up to you with posters for movies and you're like, yeah, what is this? You know, like, and it gets even better when you go to the Philippines, because the Philippines retitling of movies is sheer genius. There's a movie Gary Daniels did called Capital Punishment that he did for David Huey. And in the Philippines, it was Bloodsport 2. That's the Philippines poster claims that Gary Daniels is Bruce Lee's brightest disciple, contemporary of Chuck Norris, and the man who killed Jean-Claude Van Damme in the 1991 Bloodsport competition.
That's great.
I wanted to
just talk briefly about Armor of God, primarily because I watched an hour of it off Josh's recommendation and I just had questions.
Happened on that movie. Yeah,
it was interesting. It's probably my least favorite Jackie Chan film, but it does have some really excellent stunts, and it was a big hit in Hong Kong, I think, right, Mike?
Yeah, it was. The funny thing was, it was Jackie trying to change his image originally. That's why he's got the short hair, because basically a director, Eric Chang, said, we're gonna make an Indiana Jones movie. We're going to change your look. So basically they shot about 50% of the movie, and then Jackie did the stunt in the opening scene where he jumps from a ledge onto a tree.
Yes.
And the first take he did it, but he thought it didn't look smooth enough. So he did a second take and the branch broke and he fell and shattered his skull and had bone fragments in the brain. And as he puts it, if it had been a Hong Kong cameraman, they'd have gone, oh, Jackie is falling, and put their hand up and broken their own arm, but probably saved him. But the Yugoslav cameraman went, there's a man falling on me, and just ran off with the camera.
Sure.
So then Jackie recovered from his brain surgery and then decided to come back and reshoot the movie and grew his hair and changed everything, and they reshot it again. And
it's
basically,
it's,
you've got all that action at the beginning, and then you've got about 40 minutes where nothing happens.
Yes.
And then you've got an incredible final 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's the ultimate irony, because it's like a nothing stunt. He doesn't even need the stunt. He could have just ran around a corner or something. Like, it's
no,
the smallest
that's what he always jokes about. Like on Rumble in the Bronx, what broke his ankle was not the stunt. He jumped from the bridge onto the hovercraft, but of course it's non-slip material on the hovercraft. So when he landed, he went left, but his boot didn't.
Right.
And that's what shattered his ankle. And he's always like, that's the problem. The small stunts are the ones that you get hurt on, because you go, I'm just falling off a chair, I can do it.
Right.
Like when we did Abduction with Ernie and Scott, and I broke my sternum with my chin. Because everyone was like, when you get hit, Mike, make sure you tuck. And I did, a bit too hard.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, from a fan's point of view, Armor of God. Well, first of all, you know, I learned about him through Cable, Big Brawl, which is when he was starting to develop his Harold Lloyd persona, but it wasn't quite there yet. And the Big Brawl is worth watching, even though it's a mess. But it's really, especially see Gene LaBelle all ripped, which you don't see Gene LaBelle that often. But I think Armor of God was noteworthy because we were all talking about that he broke his back, and that you see it
right
in post credits. And I always forget to ask you this, Mike, because everybody claims that Jackie learned about showing the bloopers when he did Cannonball Run, I think in 1982 or something like that. So did he get it from those guys?
That's what he always says, that because he said he'd wanted to do it, but everyone had always told him, you keep the mystique. And then when he worked with like Hal Needham and everyone, they were like, no, this is part of the fun, showing people. So
yeah. And that changed everything, because all of a sudden we're like, what? He actually jumped. And especially the jump in, I think, Police Story, right, Mike, where he jumps on the pole and he shows you his hands. And for young martial artists, we're looking at this and we're going, holy fuck, this is what he's willing to sacrifice for his work. And in a way, it elevated it to a point where even if you didn't like the movie, you admired that he put his whole life into this work.
Oh, and no, no. So I mean,
God was the one that did that for me.
Exactly. It's that level of physicality. And it's like, the funny thing is, like, Jackie Chan will always say that Gene Kelly was a Hong Kong action star.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, but he goes, Fred Astaire was camera tricks. Yeah. He's like, you know, Gene Kelly will leap around and do stuff. But he goes, that was the problem. When they had no money for special effects, they had to become the special effect themselves. Right. And it did become that thing of, how far can we go? You know, can we take a hit? Can we do it? And it's, there's a stuntman who lives in my village, and he's the guy who in so many of the Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung movies, he's the guy getting the full power kick to the face. And he's just made of concrete. Like he's
got a good chin.
Hell yeah. But it's like, but it's just, yeah, he was like, oh, they realized I had a strong chin, so they'd hit me.
Yeah.
And as like Josh said, you know, you look at something like Battle Creek Brawl, and there's the potential is there, but they were so no, we've got to break it down and we've got to cut it and we can't show, you know, we can't show this in one take, and we've got to, and that's always the problem that Jackie and all that have, that, you know, when you do a Western movie and there's all the safety precautions, and just they get frustrated because they feel it takes too much time, and also just it slows down the flow and everything, and it's like but it's just that sheer physicality. And I said, you'd watch a Jackie Chan movie or you'd watch a Sammo Hung movie, and you're going, that's the actor getting hit by a car. That's the actor getting bounced down the stairs.
Right.
And your brain goes, maybe if I trained hard enough, I could do that. I could, you know.
That's Michelle jumping a motorcycle from a train.
Exactly.
That's actually her. That's her. It's nobody else.
I mean, well, it's actually Bruce Law. She's on a wire.
And I mean, the other thing that I think we have to acknowledge is that Jackie is a student of American film, that he loves silent movies. Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chaplin, especially Buster Keaton, and his persona was never the avenging angel that Bruce Lee was. I mean, and Bruce Lee was American, you know, let's be honest, and had American ideas about what he wanted to do with film. Jackie was an opera star, you know, a performer in live performance who loved Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd and wanted to do that. And so when he created his movies, like Big Mike was saying, that you get these videotapes and you didn't even, they oftentimes weren't even subtitled. So you didn't know what they were saying. But with Jackie Chan, it didn't, or Sammo's another great one at this, because they both trained at the same place. You didn't need to know what they were saying, because they were essentially making silent movies, and that's why they were so successful and still successful to this day. One of the best jokes in Rumble in the Bronx, besides the fact it's not really the Bronx, as anyone could tell, it was when he meets his uncle's fiance, and she's a big black woman, and she grabs him and gives him a kiss. And I saw that in a movie theater in Manhattan. And everybody, no matter what color they were, are dying of laughter, because it's a classic gag. It would not be out of place in a Tyler Perry movie, you know?
No, exactly. And that's the thing. Jackie understood the you know, these movies are going to other countries. What can we do that doesn't need subtitling, that doesn't need you to sit down and have the plot explained to you? I remember being on set with him. Shit, we were filming a crime story. And he was like, I know how I'm going to break it in America. I'm going to make a Lethal Weapon movie, and I'm going to have Mel Gibson do all the stunts from my movies. I'm going to have Mel Gibson hanging off the cable cars in San Francisco. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He was like, I will never break in America. And like with The Protector, there's two edits of the movie. There's mm-hmm. the American edit, which is Jackie Chan trying to be Dirty Harry.
Right.
And it's got moments, but it's Jackie Chan swearing his head off. It's sort of stuff. Then there's a Hong Kong version, which is completely re-edited, has extra fight scenes. He reshot the Bill Wallace finale.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing is the failure of The Protector is what inspired him to do Police Story, because he was like, okay, I need to do it my way. And I think wow. for the longest time, that was the problem, that like I've spoken to directors and interviewers. Jackie is like Mickey Mouse. So the problem is if you try and change him, he'll fight you back. Mm-hmm. So like there's a movie called The Shinjuku Incident that Jackie shot in Japan. And when they were shooting the movie, they shot tons of action. And when they were editing the movie, the director cut most of the action. Because the director was like, it's a drama. We said this was going to be a drama, but the director was clever enough to realize on set, Jackie would side with the stunt people and be like, yeah, we should film more action. We should do this. He was like, it's easier to win that battle in the editing room. And I think that's the thing. And it's like with the Rush Hour movies, I remember before Rush Hour came out, Jackie was like, the movie's going to flop. I'm just going to go to America, go to the premiere, movie will flop. I'll come back and I'll just continue making movies in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And a week later, he came back and was like, I have the number one movie in the world. Yeah. And to this day, he'll tell you that it's not a great movie and that, you know, like it's like with when he was prepping to do Shanghai Noon, that was a movie he'd wanted to do for years, the cowboy movie. Mm-hmm. And I went up to the set of another movie he was shooting and he was like, I'm finally going to do my cowboy movie. I was like, oh, excellent. He goes, but it's very stupid. They're calling it Shanghai Noon. And I was like, that's a great title. And he was like, yeah, but I want to call it West, West, West. And I was like, yeah, but you can't. That title makes no sense. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, and also Will Smith's just done Wild, Wild West and it flopped. And then Jackie was like, yeah, but it's very stupid. My character's name is John Wayne. And I'm like, what? Because he doesn't explain that it's Chong Wang, John Wayne. He's like, it's not funny, is it? And then he's like, and my character's called the Shanghai Kid. I'm like, that's great. But my character's from Beijing. And there's all these elements where sometimes with Jackie, he's so caught up on the action things that he'll miss all those things. And you know, the frustrating thing for me is that he broke internationally a few years too late. International didn't get him at his prime. Mm. And the level of action that Western audiences accept now, I wish they'd been able to accept 20 years ago when Jackie broke out.
Speaking of that, can we just for 2 seconds, the thing in Who Am I when he jumps down the side of the building, which I maintain to this day, one of my favorite stunts just ever. I was rewatching it just the other day in preparation for this. And I was thinking like, I wonder if Tom Cruise, like younger Tom Cruise saw this and was like, man, I got to step my game up. Like, do you think that Jackie is personally responsible for Tom Cruise doing all this insane stuff?
I think in some ways, yeah. And the funny thing of that is we were editing a movie with Donnie Yen about 2 years ago, and 2 or 3 years ago, when the last Mission Impossible movie came out. Mm-hmm. And Donnie made a comment about Tom Cruise that was very interesting. He said, the difference between Tom Cruise... He said, Tom Cruise is a movie star, not an action star. I said, what do you mean? He goes, there are 50 cameras on Tom Cruise when he breaks his ankle.
Right.
Tom Cruise uses the reverse, and then you just see him get up and stagger off. He's like, mm-hmm. if Tom Cruise was an action star, it would have been boom, 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 50 different angles, close up on the face. Look how painful this has been. And he was like, Tom Cruise has surpassed it. Tom Cruise is a movie star. You know, that Tom Cruise understands, if I do that, I'll take the audience out of the movie. So I think there is that inspiration. I mean, there's so many filmmakers who have been inspired by Hong Kong. And then the funny thing is it goes both ways. Like there's a movie Vic Armstrong directed called Joshua Tree, Army of One with Dolph Lundgren.
itself, right?
There's a huge gunfight in it that's so John Woo inspired. And Vic Armstrong always says that he met John Woo and was like, ah, I kind of borrowed from you. And John Woo was like, that's okay, we borrowed from you. So I think there's always been that kind of thing. And I think Tom Cruise was probably the first guy to go, I'm in this position as a movie star, but I can do what Jackie Chan or someone done and go, I want to do my own stunts. I want to work this round. And I mean, like I said, you watch a Tom Cruise movie and you go, that's really Tom Cruise hanging off a plane. That's really Tom Cruise doing all this stuff. And it's awesome, you know?
Yeah, and I think especially these days, you know, Cruise understands this authenticity really matters to people, especially right now. And I think, and that was always Jackie's appeal. You felt like you knew him, you know, because he's basically bearing his heart and soul. And his best movies are about an innocent guy who just wants to do right and gets caught between opposing forces. Those are his best movies. I think the thing that I always, especially I talked to you about Who Am I, the rooftop battle is the thing I've watched over and over again. And Mike, I was telling Dan that there's some outtakes on YouTube because Jackie was getting upset with the fighter because they have a real fighter there. Is he Dutch? I forget. Sorry.
Basically, what frustrates me is that story has kind of been for so long messed around. It was Ron's first movie. And if Ron would just say, you know what? It was my first movie. I was fighting Jackie Chan. It's incredibly demanding. I didn't quite get the Hong Kong star, whatever. But Ron, God bless him, always implies that it's some conspiracy to make him look bad. And, you know, that it's all fake footage. And you go, no, the problem is on a Hong Kong movie, especially back then, they've decided, okay, Joshua's going to do the fight. Mm-hmm. There is no pre-planned choreography. So we don't know until we get to this point what technique we're going to do. And so we don't have a chance to go, oh, okay, Joshua can't do the jump spinning hook kick.
Right.
You know, so they'll get to that point and then they'll go, okay, we'll bring in a double.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. So, and it is, you're working with Jackie. It's your first movie. It's incredibly stressful. It's incredibly, you know, mad, and they're making up the choreography on the spot and there's communications issues. And yeah, Jackie gets frustrated, but Jackie gets frustrated at his stunt guys. He'll get frustrated at himself. And it with Ron, I feel bad for him that a lot of people still bring that up.
Right.
But Ron also brings it up himself time and time again as if it was a conspiracy. And if you just go, it was my first movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you put anyone in a Hong Kong fight situation, it's completely against everything they've learned in the West. You're breaking rhythm. If you look at Ho Sung Pak, who was originally meant to be the main villain in Drunken Master 2, Ho Sung Pak is an incredible martial artist. And you can ask him to do 1,000 moves nonstop and he can do it. But he found it hard to break the rhythm. Yeah, he found it hard to go, bum, 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 stop, then come back into it.
Right.
And the same thing, they ended up using Ken Lo from Jackie's team because Jackie knows their timing, they know his timing. And if one of Jackie's team hits him, Jackie 100% knows it wasn't intentional. There's no thing. And I think the problem is people forget that sometimes you've got to double people. Okay, mentioning Michelle Yeoh, on her first movie, Yes, Madam, when her and Cynthia Ruffrock are having the huge end fight, mm-hmm. Michelle's fighting a guy who looks like a Chinese Rambo. Yeah, mm-hmm. Curly hair, mustache, combat gear. That guy is a guy called Chung Fat, and he's one of the best martial artists in the world. But him and Michelle Yeoh, their timing just didn't work.
Right.
So they doubled him. And Chung Fat is like, I've fought 1,000 people, but just me and Michelle, the timing didn't work. And, well, you know,
it's like dance partners.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get the right one and it's fantastic. You get the wrong one and it's awkward, you know.
And there's a flow to it. And this happens in jiu-jitsu where we flow roll. But there are some people who just can't flow. They can only go 100% hard. And so that's, I think, when you get real fighters in films, some of them adapt really well. And others, they only know how to crush you.
No, exactly.
Well, that was the joke about Tyson, too, is that Tyson is just scary. because he's a fighter and not a stuntman.
Whereas On Ip Man 3, they were worried that Tyson would get carried away or that he'd take it the wrong way. Like, you know, and the problem is, you know, you go exactly like Joshua said, that sometimes, you know, like I've used wrestling guys and like they love the wrestling guys because the wrestling guys can just do it. But then you'll get someone else exactly who's a world-class fighter, but they can't adapt. They can't break it down. That's why Benny Aquidez did so well, because Benny, if you watch Benny in Force 5, Benny's doing Hong Kong style action even then. And Benny was able to speed up. He was able to slow down. And Benny took nothing personal. You know, Benny was like, if you hit me, you're going to hit me. But like, let's do it that you hit me once so we can move on, as opposed to 50 hits. And when Benny shot like being hit. Hong Kong with Bruce Lee's daughter, I remember being on set and he was telling her, just hit me so we can move on. Because he was like, one or two real hits is better than a whole day of, you know. And I think it's for Who Am I, the problem was like, you know, it was one of the first Jackie movies where there was a behind the scenes crew filming everything. So that footage got shown around. Like if you, you know, Richard Norton got doubled, Gary Daniels got doubled at times for, you know, for a quick shot here and there. Unfortunately, Ron was there and there's a camera crew filming it, that, and then Jackie did the My Stunts, and it was a perfect showcase to go, this is why Jackie has a stunt team, because sometimes no matter how good you are, you can't pick it up. And I think it's just, unfortunately, it's kind of become a weight around Ron's neck that he always thinks that any mention of Who Am I is somehow going to knock him down.
Well, and for me, because that's one of my favorite scenes, and I want to say that he has got a commanding presence in the movie. And my interest in the behind the scenes stuff is to see that side of Jackie, which he's careful with, you know, but I appreciate Jackie's a perfectionist and you'd have to be able to do that work. And the thing that I appreciate about that scene isn't, and I'm just speaking for myself, isn't a condemnation of that person, because he's obviously, Ron's obviously a real fighter, and anyone who's fight knows how hard it is. It's really hard to pull that stuff.
Exactly.
And I just love that I see this. Well, this is how Jackie makes his shit. And I love it, man, because I don't want to believe it's an accident. I want to believe that he sweats and bleeds for it. And he does, you know, and it's great. And that's an amazing scene. And you forgot to mention they're also on a skyscraper.
And the thing is,
I'm like, oh, God, I don't know how. I don't think I could do it up there.
Well, yeah.
And the thing is, it goes both ways. Like, we did a movie called True Legend with Yuen Woo Ping, and we had all these wrestling guys. And one day Yuen Woo Ping says, can I come to the set and bring one of the wrestling guys? And I get there and there's all of Yuen Woo Ping's stunt team sitting there holding their heads. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we don't understand. How do they do this and keep going? And they're doing pile drivers for real. And the wrestling guy pick is a guy called Sylvester Turkey, who's like 6'10" and maniac cop jaw and is just fucking awesome. Sylvester goes, Mike, may I borrow you? Picks me up, pops my head between his knees and proceeds to pile drive me and point out that his knees are taking the impact. My head has not hit the ground. And Yuen Woo Ping and his team were like, oh, okay.
Oh, you're not really breaking their neck. Okay.
Yeah, but it's that same thing that they'll go, boom, you know.
Hey guys, we got to stop real quick for a break for our sponsor. But when we come back, we're going to do a little lightning round of favorites of different things from Jackie. And we're going to wrap the show with that. We'll be right back. Movies I Love That No One Talks About is brought to you by Virtual Pitch Fest. Virtual Pitch Fest is a trusted industry source that specializes in connecting screenwriters with production companies and representatives. With Virtual Pitch Fest, writers can search through an online database, almost like a dating site, to see what 500 plus participating companies are looking for. They can then send short written pitches on their scripts to chosen companies with the assurance of a guaranteed response back. That's right, guaranteed. You get an answer, you get a fair shot. That's a really critical difference with this service compared to some of the other online pitch services for writers. To date, site connections have led to 150 plus success stories, including produced films There's actually a Bruce Willis, Megan Fox movie that was recently produced directly because of Virtual Pitch Fest. Just a writer who, you know, was relatively unknown, went on there, did a pitch. The pitch was picked up by a producer, and then that ended up becoming this movie. There's also been dozens of other script deals, many writers landing representation. If this sounds like something that could be useful to you, check out Virtual Pitch Fest at virtualpitchfest.com. Okay, we are back. So I wanted to do just kind of personal favorites for different things. personal favorite blooper. For me, the thing that I always remember is the part in Rush, I think it's Rush Hour 1, when Chris Tucker has to say, Cheshame. That's all he has to say. And they do like 17 takes of it. And eventually Jackie's like, my English is bad? He can't say two words. You guys have a personal favorite blooper of Jackie.
Josh?
Oh, man. I mean, I always like the stunt bloopers. You know, I mean, and those are the ones that I like when he screws up and he's like, okay, that was on me. And there's a bunch of those in all those movies. And they're the thing that I like the most. I want to, and I'm blanking on the titles because the titles have all changed. But whenever he accidentally hits somebody, you can see that he really feels awful about it. And I think that that's always my favorite thing. It's like, you're the star, your name's above it. And, you know, go ahead and punch Mike Leader. He could take it, but he still feels awful, you know? And I think that's probably my favorite thing about Jackie Chan. But I also, and it's especially true when, I think when he's fighting Benny in Meals on Wheels and he's fighting a real fighter, and there's a camaraderie there that I just enjoy seeing. So I would say that that's the next thing that I really like. I like that he likes to hang with the guys and the girls that do this kind of hard stuff. So.
No, I mean, definitely. I think it's great to see him sometimes screw up with dialogue, because sometimes for him, the physicality is so easy, but the dialogue is so hard. Like I was doing a thing with him and he was trying to talk about the Three Musketeers. And he went through three musketeers, three musket hounds, till finally three swordsmen. Yeah. But I think, like, sometimes it's funny when you see him doing minor stuff and he messes up, like in Armor of God, when he's, you know, constantly flicking the bubble gum into his mouth.
Right.
And there's endless outtakes of bubble gum going up his nose, bubble gum flying off the thing. And sometimes with the physicality, that one of his biggest complaints often is, when people hit him and then they freeze and stop, and he's always like, continue with the take, at least that way we can save it. So I think, yeah, I mean, when he fought, if you watch the Japanese release of like Dragons Forever, there's outtakes of him and Benny, and yeah, there's some major ones on that. But I think
that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I would say probably, and also on the Japanese version of The Protector, because one, they've got a terrible country and Western song playing over the outtakes. And watching Bill Wallace kick Jackie in the face and then Jackie being like, but you didn't move. And Bill Wallace is like, well, I just kicked you in the face. Yes. Yeah. And Jackie's like, yeah, but if you kept moving, I could have saved the shot. Yeah.
I also wanted to do, and not in an insensitive way, but I, you know, just logically, it is part of the appeal of his whole thing. Favorite Jackie Chan injury story. So for me, in Police Story 2, they set up, he's on a bus and it's like, hey, you got to jump through this one window. We put the safety glass in this one window and he just jumps through an actual window.
Oh no, because Jackie's idea is that safety glass is too obvious. Yeah. So Jackie wants thicker glass. And on Police Story, he went through the glass so easy, he smashed his head on the wall behind. Yeah, because he was like, I'll just go through the glass and roll. And of course, you're jumping off a moving bus. You got some momentum going. I would say probably, of course, the Police Story bus scene, just because it's that same thing. You can see that Jackie's worried that his stunt guys have just landed on their heads, but he's trying to save the shot. And then probably for maybe on Drunken Master 2 when he gets kicked back into the fire. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Because I remember being on set and he was like, no, you need to kick me because otherwise I'm not going to fall. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was a Super Cop. He did the movie with Michelle. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's jumping from a, I think it's a parking structure and into, you know, to a fire escape. And I just really love that scene. And probably because it scares the bejesus out of me. I'm not a big fan of heights.
That was Rumble in the Bronx, young sir. The jump is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Joshua fails miserably.
Yeah. I know. I keep getting all the titles mixed up. But I guess I just think that it just is, the image has always stayed with me. And he does the same thing in Police Story before he grabs the pole. You sit there and you see him gather himself and he goes, oh, you know, and yeah. I just really love it. I just really love it. And
there's speaking of heights, there's a part, one of the bloopers in Who Am I is he jumps and he's sort of like, falls on the edge of the skyscraper and the camera is pointing down. So you can see that there's not a net on the side of the skyscraper or anything. And he literally is on the edge. He lands on his back and he looks up at the camera and he does this move where he kind of pumps his chest like his heart is beating. I remember seeing that.
And that's the sometimes the madness of Hong Kong cinema, that I remember going to the set of a new Police Story when they were shooting that in Hong Kong, and one of the actors, I go up there and all the actors are sitting to one side quietly, but there's one actor leaning off the edge of the building and everything, and the stunt coordinator was like, Mike, can you explain to him? And I was like, dude, you need to come back. He's like, it's okay, I have a safety harness. I was like, but it's not attached to anything. You know, because they were like, we'll attach it once we're ready to shoot. But this guy was like, I have a safety harness, I can go to the edge of the building, I'm fine. And there's stuff on a Hong Kong movie that, you know, on a Western movie, they'd be like, no, we've got to exactly put up netting. We've got to put people on safety wires. Whereas in a Hong Kong movie, they'll be like, yeah, but Jackie knows not to fall off the building. You're like, and if he starts to go, one of us will grab him. That's why if you watch like a Police Story 3 Super Cop, there's the outtake where Michelle Yeoh hits the car and starts to fall. And you see two stuntmen just dive after her.
Yeah,
because their thing is, we'll land on the ground before her and she can land on us.
Yeah. I forgot that too.
So there is that madness. I mean, it can still be worrying sometimes on a Hong Kong movie because you are like, guys, we can pad stuff now. We can put down matting and everything. But like, especially with some of the old school guys, they're like, that will take too long. Yeah. And like, there's a stunt coordinator here, Ridley Choi. And Ridley began as a stuntman on Police Story at the age of 12. And he's almost like, if you're a stuntman and you go home and you're not bleeding, you're not a stuntman. You didn't earn your money today. Because like Ridley came up working with Sammo, especially, and there's a completely politically incorrect movie called Pantyhose Hero, where Sammo infiltrates the gay community in Hong Kong to track down a serial killer. And Sammo is fighting Ridley, and Sammo hits Ridley with a real frying pan because the fake ones were breaking too easy. And he hits Ridley and you see Ridley fall down like a puppet that's just had his strings cut. So, you know, I think there's still that level of madness. And I hate to say it, that's why when Van Damme first appeared, Hong Kong guys liked him because he had that physicality. I wish he'd stuck with it. Yeah.
And he'd really take a shot. He'd mix it up. Well, and the film in Australia where they get a battle with sharks, First Strike, right. And my kids and I watched that, and it's so obvious they're in there with real sharks. I mean, they're not, and it's just crazy, and it's funny, and it's hilarious. And Jackie's like, you know, and the bubbles come up and he watches the shark fly. And you're like, what the hell is he doing? And it's just so great. You know, that's the only thing I can really say. I just enjoy it. And my kids love his movies. They love they love his films, even the ones, you know, let's face it, are, you know, not as good as they could be, like The Spy Next Door and all that stuff, but they love all of his movies. And that's because he just communicates a gentleness with a courage. And I think that's a rare thing in an action star. And just as, that's his unique thing.
As we wrap up here, a last question, personal favorite Jackie Chan film.
Drunken Master 2.
I'd probably go with personal favorite. Damn. I got to be honest. I really love, it's a lesser one, but I really love The Big Brawl or Battle. It has many titles.
Battle Creek Brawl. Yeah.
Yeah. Battle Creek Brawl is what they call it. And they were trying to Americanize him. But the interesting thing is that the interesting thing about that movie is that they were making a period piece, which is also crazy, starring a Chinese guy, which is crazy at the time, because this was 1982. And the bad guy had a butterfly knife. That's how you know it was the 80s, because in the 80s, all the bad guys had butterfly knives, which doesn't make sense to me because they're not that useful. It takes longer to get it open. But, you know, there's some amazing sequences where he's...
See, in England, we didn't get the butterfly knife. They cut the butterfly knife.
Yeah, because it's illegal there. That's right. I forgot about that. And, you know, there's a scene where he's dancing, and there's another scene where he's doing like a roller derby type of thing. And it's just so unusual and unexpected in an American film. And I just remember watching that movie over and over and over again because I couldn't understand it. And it was so sweet. It was very much like, you know, he would go on to remake Around the World in 80 Days. But I feel The Big Brawl was kind of an homage to that, you know, and because obviously Jackie had seen the original Around the World. That's why he remade it later. And I feel Big Brawl encompassed all that. And the scenes with Mako, where Mako is training him and hitting him with the cane and he's hopping around and throwing things while he's holding. It's just, I just really like it. And it's not his best movie, but it's a personal favorite for that reason.
I always think The Big Brawl was mismarketed because they were trying to push it as the new Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Because it is such a fun movie and it is, it's as close to Jackie doing a traditional kung fu movie in America as you could get. So, yeah. You know. But like Drunken Master 2, I got to spend a lot of time on the set. And I'd say probably that and Dragons Forever are my two favorites.
That's amazing, Mike.
And I would highly recommend the 88 Films Blu-ray release. Because we put tons of special features on their model cuts of the movie. Yeah.
That is amazing that you were on set for Drunken Master 2. I mean, I think that Drunken Master 2, I think pretty much everybody would agree, is probably one of the most important martial arts films like ever. So that is pretty wild. I think for me, it's Who Am I, which I know I've been mentioning constantly on the show. What's funny about it is that my dad, like I came to Jackie Chan through my dad. My dad loves Jackie Chan. He loves that his name was always Jackie in so many of the movies. and he just loved watching. He said when he was young, growing up in Israel, they would watch these kind of movies and then they would go outside and they start just kicking light poles. They would just be so pumped up from it. And so anyway, I genuinely don't know if it's like my nostalgia because the movie, I literally cannot watch it in America anymore. But I just always had a soft spot.
I will send you a copy, sir.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah. No, I think part of it is very much like the movie you see. Like there's a lot of Americans I meet who their first Jackie Chan movie was Super Cop when in the early 90s when it was the Hong Kong movies were first starting to get distributed.
97 or so.
So there's a lot of people I know like that. And then the funny thing is I always argue that that's why some of these people I go, you're not real fans because you got fed the best Jackie Chan movies in one weekend. Like, you know, the problem, I admit that I would go to Chinatown every week and you literally would not know. I remember going to see A Better Tomorrow and it looked like a movie about school teachers because the poster was, you know, Jiang Fat, D. Lung, Leslie Jung and the girls smiling, all wearing suits. And half of my friends were like, we'll come for the second movie. We're not going to come for that one. And when my friends arrived, I was like, this is the greatest movie of all time. You know? But I think that's the thing. Like a lot of people, they saw one Jackie Chan movie and then went online and went, best Jackie Chan movies to watch. Chum, chum, chum. You consumed them all in one weekend and didn't go through you know, that very up and down where we've all done it, where you really get into something and you're searching them out. So, you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think with both Dan and I, it's our first real exposure to Jackie. And that's probably why we have that favorite, you know, where it's a serious, you know, Big Brawl was on cable all the time. And this was when cable was new. And the other thing that was fascinating about it is that in the Big Brawl, he's got a white American girlfriend, which was unheard of. And they, you know, and they're, it's a real relationship and nobody even thinks about it. And, you know, just from my perspective, as you know, it was just so unique and different. And I think that's probably why I have so much affection for it. But I love Super Cop because I love Michelle. I love Police Story, you know, the drive down through the slums, which they actually did. He'd get that car and he goes all through those houses that they would later do in Bad Boys 2 or something.
Yeah.
But it started with Jackie. And I mean, all those, and I get them all whirled up because sometimes I've seen a movie and I didn't realize it because I had a different title, like Mike was saying, and you don't always know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the other thing. And I think it just occurred to me, I think why we're drawn to it is that, especially in America, films have to follow a certain pattern. We don't want to admit it, but there's so many seminars and classes, and you know, Dan, you and I talk about this constantly in the groups that we belong to. There's expectations, and I go through it with my agents and managers now. Look, midpoint this. That does not happen in Jackie Chan movies. In Jackie Chan movies, they say, well, what's fun and how can we top it? And then they keep going. And so
I mean, 100%, like, that's what was so mad about Drunken Master 2, because Jackie was reinventing the wheel, basically, because he'd taken over after another director had left.
Yeah.
So, like, it was amazing to watch Jackie go, well, wait a minute, there's writing on this fan, but we never see it clearly. I can put a message on it and then have a moment where my character looks at the fan, sees this message, da-da-da. And the funny thing as well is, if you ever get the chance to sit down with Jackie, the movies he likes, like, you'll explain to him that you think, you know, Drunken Master 2 is great, and he's like, oh, that movie's terrible. You're like, this movie's much better. Like, you know, and you're sitting there going, yeah, but, like, I remember asking him, and this was, God, just before Rumble in the Bronx came out, and I was like, you know, what about deleted scenes? And he was like, oh, well, they're shit. That's why I cut them. He's like, if they were any good, they'd still be in the movie. Like, that's, you know, and I was like, the greatest answer of all time. Yeah, because he was like, if it was good, it'd still be in the movie. If it's been cut, it's because it's not good. Yeah. You know, and I think that, and just, yeah, I just think that Jackie, unfortunately, like a lot of the Hong Kong stars, didn't really get the roles they could have. That's why it's so nice to see in the last year or two, Michelle Yeoh have this resurgence of all these very interesting roles, you know, where you suddenly go, somebody has realized again, okay, she's older, but she can still do stuff, and we can still put her in roles that aren't just, this was written for a Chinese character.
Right.
You know, like, and I think that's the thing, because even for Jackie, he was like, I remember talking to him, he went, my English isn't good enough that I can play an American Chinese. And he was like, the same way, Mike, if you bring Tom Hanks to Hong Kong, how many roles can he play? You're like, he can play a businessman, a policeman. And then very quickly, you're like, oh, we've run out of characters for you. So he was like, I think the problem is he thought he would get America going, keep on doing your movies, but do them on a grander scale. So, right. You know.
But as we wrap up, just on that note, behind me, The Foreigner is paused. I'm like an hour 10 into The Foreigner.
Nice.
Basically, Jackie Chan, Man on Fire. And I
think
it's really good, actually. And it's kind of a cool, you know, Jackie's only 67. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see. There's still a lot of really interesting stuff that he can do. And I think The Foreigner is a kind of a good template for that.
No, I think that's what's frustrating is he did The Foreigner and then he did this terrible movie called Bleeding Steel, which was just completely and utterly a money movie. And it was just, you know, The Foreigner proved that if you push him in the right direction, if you give him the right director and a role that is explained to him and it's meaty enough, he'll dive into it. I think, and probably Joshua would probably agree, Jackie's a little bit like Jean-Claude, that you got to get them to trust you on the project. And the minute they lose the trust, then it all goes wrong. Oh, but if you can get them to buy into it, it's like me and Joshua would say, Jean-Claude could still do so much, but it's just keeping him in that focused mindset. Yeah. And it's the same with Jackie that, like, when they did, The Foreigner, Martin Campbell was like, you will be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Pierce Brosnan will be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't give a shit that you're Jackie Chan. This is the movie we're making. And Jackie respects that because he's like, you're not giving me room to be the big boss. And I think sometimes that's what those guys need. They need someone to put them in line,
Yeah.
Cool. Well, guys, this has been such a pleasure. I could talk to you about Jackie Chan for 17 hours. Just for the audience to know, it's currently 6:57 a.m. here in Santa Clarita. Josh is in New York, where it'll be almost 10 a.m.
Yep.
And then Mike is in Hong Kong, was there like frogs in the background at one point?
This is what's funny. I live in a village in Hong Kong. And even though I'm on the third floor, the frogs are very loud.
I love it.
The spirit of this episode, this was an international co-production to do this episode. Thank you guys both so much for doing this. That's our show for this
week. Thank you, Joshua, for the introduction. And thank you, Dan, for having us aboard.
Pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you again, Greg.
If you want to keep up with the show, join our Facebook group, Movies I Love That No One Talks About. Follow me on Instagram at the same. Thanks again, guys. Until next time. Bye-bye.